Good. Now we're going to preach this morning. We're going to do a new series. How many churches up and down the land? And I said to Jeff, you know, he said, oh, I'm going to just have to trust you. What word you're bringing for the vision for 2020? I said, well, do you know what? I'm not going to do it. I restrained myself from bringing one of them cheesy 2020 vision messages. You know what I mean? Having a 2020 vision in 2020. We're not going to do that. You're going to hear that in a lot of places. Believe you me, 2020 vision. It's just too like, it was tempting, but no. But we do have a vision for this year. And this is the vision that we felt. Actually, this is something I believe, Bo, you mentioned a few weeks back, and we're praying about it. We're seeking God, and we say, you know what? This feels right. And this is the vision we feel for 2020. We believe that this is going to be a year of restoration. Did you get the email this week? A year of restoration. Who wants to see the good things of God restored in your life? I believe there are going to be amazing things restored. You know, Jeff was telling me this morning, I said, how long has this church been established? He said, 1943. Do the maths, it's about 77 years old. 77 years ago, this church was established. I think it became because the church in Newham was bombed. So you people came out here to Waltham Abbey. And this church was birthed because of the destruction and the bombing in Newham. But guess what? God had a plan, didn't he? And has God finished with this church? And this is my word. This is my word today, is that this is a year of restoration, and God isn't going to restore us to a former glory, but I believe he's restoring us to something even greater, you know. The best years and the best things are coming. I really believe this. I don't believe, you know, I don't believe in the good old days and looking back and moaning and bemoaning the day we live in today. Isn't it a shame, this and that? And isn't the world in a terrible state and the youth of today and all of this stuff? I believe God is going to restore something. I believe there's in restoration, you hear the word revival. Can anyone else hear that? Who wants to see revival amongst us? I want to see that, you know. And God is restoring to some of you, maybe some of those dreams or the call of God. Maybe not, you know, I like the word call rather than dreams. But the call of God restoring you to that place of serving God passionately and effectively and fruitfully and restoring us to a place of being like center place in what God is doing and not on the outskirts and not feeling like you're not a part of it and not feeling like you're not connected or engaged, but actually God restoring you so that you're fully serving, fully pressing in and fully passionate. God is restoring passion in the house this morning. Yes, yes. Who wants to be passionate for Jesus this year like never before? And so the word I want to speak actually is from Acts chapter 20. Verses 1 to 7, and I'll read this for you. It says, when the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye, and he set out for Macedonia. So he's just leaving Ephesus. He traveled through the area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in... I'm doing 7 to 20, aren't I? Sorry. I did one there. So on the first day of the week, there you go. On the first day of the week. Who knows what day the first day of the week is? Anyone? Sunday. On Sunday, they came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. That is a tough meeting. We're talking a six-hour preach. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. His name means fortunate. You're going to see why. And who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. That is a dramatic church meeting, isn't it? Yeah. Paul went down for himself and the young man put his arms around him. He said, don't be alarmed. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again, broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, we weren't happy with a six-hour message. We wanted a 12-hour message that night. And after talking until daylight, he left and the people took the young man home alive and they were greatly comforted. Wow. I really believe, like, so here we got this this amazing church meeting, and the people, they all meet together on the first day of the week. They're celebrating Jesus alive. They're all breaking bread, and they're all, you know, they're sitting under the word of God, and they're really, really, they love Paul, they love Jesus, they love the word. This young man, he's sitting by the window, he falls asleep, he dies. Paul, through the power of Jesus Christ, the resurrection life that is in the name of Jesus, who has power over death, he comes back to life and they go home really, really encouraged. It could have been the worst church meeting ever where they would be so discouraged, but actually they went home praising God. And actually, I want you to know, I really want you to switch on today, really to hear. I thought, shall I bring a message of like, just kind of like, God is going to restore your dreams, and God, this is going to be of restoring the blessing and restoring. And actually, what I felt was to start the year was that just a gentle challenge and an encouragement that God is restoring us so that we're not sitting on the edge, not sitting by the window, one foot in the world, one foot out the world, but God is restoring us to a place of center where we're actually going to use our gifts. We're going to be passionate for Jesus. 2020 is going to be a year of passion in your life, a year of our life, and LVC, this is going to be a year marked by passion and service and calling. Amen? Amen. The midnight hour when he fell. It talks of decision in the Bible. I'm going to talk more about this. A time of decision. And when you look around the world, who thinks when you see the pictures in Australia, it looks apocalyptic? And Trump in Iran, you know, Middle East war and all of this stuff, it could be like, it feels like the midnight hour in many ways. It feels like Jesus is about to return, but in many ways, maybe the midnight hour is for your life. Maybe this is your hour of decision. Are you in or are you out? Are you a part of this? Are you going to get rooted and get passionate, or are you out? You know, and I think this is a word and encouragement that you are in. God wants you in. God loves you. God's got a purpose and a plan, a calling for you. And now is the time to engage, to switch on, and to say, I am all in. Amen? Turn to somebody, gently pat them, not punch, pat, and say, we're all in this year. Say it to somebody, we're all in. This is our year, we're all in. So let me set the scene. They were meeting on Sunday. The early church met on a Sunday. So people, you know, I've done a lot of work with Messianics, and, you know, because I love Israel, I love the Jewish people, and I want to see Jewish people come to Jesus. And but a lot of the Messianics, they would write me letters and they would speak to me and they would challenge me constantly, saying, you should be meeting on the Sabbath, which is a Saturday. And I know Sabbath is a Saturday. And then, why are you meeting on a Sunday? You should be meeting on a Saturday. You should be meeting on a Saturday. And they got almost cult-like, you know, and they got like very divisive and like, we should be meeting on a Saturday. We should be doing this. And I said, well, do you know what? The early church has always met on the first day of the week. Do you know why? The early church, which was largely Jewish, this is what they would do. They would meet, they would go to synagogue on a Saturday. And they would meet together on a Sunday to break bread. This is why, because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. So they met together on the first day of the week. Why? Because they wanted to celebrate that Jesus was alive. This is why our vision for 2020, our vision for this year, vision for LBC, is that when we come together, we're here to celebrate. So there's going to be celebration in the house. And we're going to do that in faith, even when we don't feel like it, when we're tired, when we're discouraged, when we're upset. We're going to praise God anyway, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to sing praises. We're going to be loud and passionate. We're going to clap our hands. And when Jeff is saying, let's give a noise to Jesus, we're going to bring the house down. You know what I mean? We're going to cheer and shout and all of this stuff, because we are celebrating the fact that Jesus is not some mythological historical figure. It's not some like lovely idea who brought some lovely teachings, like, you know, like some kind of literary figure. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is alive. The only person in history who came back to life. Not only that, but he raised from the dead Lazarus. After 4 days, Lazarus had been dead. He was truly dead. Jesus spoke life. Lazarus is alive. Jesus gave life to his church. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you this. He is alive right now. Did you know he is here with us? Who loves Jesus? Let's tell Jesus we love him. He's here. We love you, Jesus. They celebrated on the first day of the week. It was the day that Jesus rose. They celebrated victory over death. They celebrated the fact that they were alive. And on the first day of the week was when Jesus appeared to his disciples in the upper room. On that first day of the week, we were in the upper room. Jesus appeared to them after he rose again. On the first day of the week, we believe Jesus instituted his church on the day of Pentecost, because we count 50 days from when Jesus rose again. We think it was about a Sunday that the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. It was on the first day of the week that the church were meeting here in Troas, in Corinth, when they met to celebrate and to sing, to pray, to take an offering. That was the first day of the week. When John was starting in the book of Revelation, it says, on the first day of the week, on the day of the Lord, they called it, I was in the Spirit. And I had this vision. Why am I saying all of this? Because I want the first day of the week to be sacred to us all. I want this day to be a holy day. Not holy and somber and getting all religious and getting all stupid about it, and all silly about it. But I mean, making, setting apart this day. Do you know what? This day belongs to Jesus. I am not going to be too tired to come and meet with my brethren and my brothers and sisters this Sunday. I'm going to make sure I'm there. I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be in it to win it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to make sure that no matter what, no matter how tired, I'm going to prioritize meeting together with the family of God. And just as Paul, just as the writer said in Hebrews, let us never neglect the coming together and the meeting together. Do you know, I did the maths. I think if we all turned up to church in LVC with all the people on the edges and stuff, we'd be pretty full already. Yeah. And I want 2020 to be a year of commitment, a year of setting apart the day as holy, just like the early church, a day of celebrating. You know what? This day belongs to Jesus. This day, all through the week, we work, we're tired, we do this, we do that, we have lives. You know, some of us go to the gym, some of us don't, some of us go to the, you know, to the cinema, whatever, but we're working lots and lots and lots. We're tired. But let Sunday be your most sacred day. When you say, I'm going to be there and I'm going to celebrate, I'm going to worship Jesus. There's nothing like worshiping God corporately. You know, one of the worst things that, people say, which I hear, which really is quite disturbing if you read the Bible, is you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. It's the wrong way of thinking. Because you are the church. You don't come to church. This is not church, this building. We are the church, and it's vital that we come together, that we meet together, because in our gathering, where two or three are gathered, he's here with us. In our gathering, there is corporate worship that takes place. There's corporate praise that takes place. In our gathering, it's when we get to declare, to proclaim, we get to preach the gospel. Who loves it when people respond to the gospel on a Sunday? More and more and more in 2020, amen? More and more. We're going to give the gospel today. We're going to believe that people respond today as well. We want to see that. And we just want this day to be like not just sacred and holy as some kind of religious thing where we get all silly and religious and start to judge others who aren't there or whatever anything, or just start to wear really smart clothes. You know, what I'm saying is really love and value the togetherness of what we do as the church. Really, really prioritize it. I want us to be so excited about Sundays. You know what? I can't wait to come to church. I love it when we worship Jesus. Have this attitude in our minds when we're talking about it at home in our families. Not like, oh, it's church tomorrow. We set the alarm. But like, I can't wait. It's church tomorrow. I'm going to get up an hour early. I want to be an hour early. Why? The doors will be locked. I don't know. I just love church, you know? Just... And just to really, in 2020, just to really prioritize, let's get our feet all in, all committed to what God is doing in this house. Because I really believe Jesus is restoring something in this church. Not something of former glory, something of the call of God to impact this nation for the kingdom of God. Restoring something of his purpose, of his calling for mission, for souls, for revival. God is restoring something. Do you believe that? And so the early church would gather from all over the countryside, all over the city. They would, you know, sometimes they would walk miles. You guys know this from your time in Kenya, that people would walk for hours to get to church. You could probably tell me stories of people that walked through the night just to be together for those few hours. And if we've walked through the night to church, you don't want to be fobbed off with an hour's meeting and a 20-minute preach. You want to be preached at all night, don't you? You know what? I've walked here all night. You better give me what my money's worth, Lord. You know what I mean? They gathered from all over the country and the city to this one place, to this place in Troas, to be together, to celebrate, to worship the resurrected Jesus. They were so passionate about each other. They were so passionate about what God was doing, so passionate about Jesus. They loved Paul. They loved the word he was bringing. Paul loved the church. And God was really moving. It was really, really precious. And he was there. He just wanted to build up the church. That was the call of God on his life, just to encourage them, build them up. And they were there. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were receiving. God was doing something very, very precious. And my first point I want to say is that there is a cheesy saying, and I don't know how else to say it, but there is a power in showing up. Okay? There is, you have to be in it. I hate these slogans. If you're not here and not engaged, if you are switched off to the things of God, How can God move in your life if you're not even attempting to respond to his reaching into your life, to his gentle conviction of the Holy Spirit? If you're ignoring when the Holy Spirit is saying, come on, let's get along, it's Sunday, let's go along. If the Holy Spirit is saying to you, come on, let's serve, let's do this, let's give, let's believe, let's pray, let's tell somebody about Jesus. If you're not responding all the time, how can the Holy Spirit partner with you if you're ignoring him? But if you're showing up, if you're obeying, if you're listening, if you're hearing, if you're responding, that is, somebody once said, you know, God doesn't look for ability. Holy Spirit doesn't need ability. He doesn't need our talents. What he often looks for is availability. Somebody says, here I am, God, use me. Send me. So this is going to be a year of saying, here we are, Lord. LVC, use us, send us. We have to be here. So please prioritize our time together. Celebrate with joy and excitement. There was such enthusiasm, such celebration. You know, the early church was renowned. I think there was, where did I read it? But history books show us that the early church were renowned for a few things. They adopted lots of children off the street because of they understood adoption as sons and daughters of the living God. So they were that house where the early church met. That was the house where miracles were taking place. Where even during persecution, it was the house where there was loud singing and worshiping and praise heard. Where there was celebration and all kinds of rumors started about the early church, which Nero used to persecute them, like they were doing all kinds of crazy things in their love feasts and all of this stuff. But what they were doing was they were loud and proud and unashamed, saying, here we are, we're not ashamed of the gospel, we're not ashamed of our God, we believe Jesus is alive. So they preached, they shared, and they didn't quiet and they didn't hush, they didn't hide. The early church was loud and proud. LVC 2020, we're going to be loud and proud. We want to make a noise that the whole of this region will hear. We want to make a noise of praise. We want to make a noise of declaration. We want to declare from the rooftops, Jesus is alive. He's coming again. And he's coming again. And this church has many different styles. I remember when I first went to the church in the Midlands, there was this big old Ark of the Covenant that somebody had made. And it became like, I could see where they were coming from. Maybe, I love Israel and stuff. But this thing became like an icon. And I tried to move it one Sunday when I took on the church, and it led to almost a church split. People like worshipping this thing. And that's why I had to get rid of it, you know? If anything becomes like that, where we get all precious and we can't move or touch, it's like anything. People can get weird about church pews or anything. I mean, we didn't, because we're still here, am I right? But people can get weird and precious about all kinds of things, and we can get all weird, we can get all sentimental, and some of these things that God doesn't even care about, really. He cares about people, and he cares about the message, and he cares about souls and the lost and our mission. But when it's things like that, and we have all kinds of traditions and all kinds of styles of doing church, and I've been to so many churches, you know, really. I once preached, because, you know, they wanted me to preach on Israel, but there was, there was about 7 or 8 bless them dears, but this is what they sang for worship. You ready? You're not going to believe me. The Okie Cokie. You don't even believe me. Oh, the Okie Cokie. They sang the Okie Cokie. I said, we're going to do worship now. We're going to sing our praises. We'll do, which song? Does anybody want to sing a song? Somebody said, the Okie Cokie. I said, Lord, where am I? They spent the whole time railing against society, railing against young people, railing against this, moaning about that, moaning about what meat Tesco's selling, all of this stuff, all angry and railing. And I checked them out. The church no longer exists. This is what happens, you see. Churches are shutting up and down the nation when you stop caring about the mission and when you stop being passionate about Jesus and when it starts to become a holy club and it starts to be where things become like icons, where things become more important than God himself. Those churches shut. And let me tell you, Jesus doesn't mourn when these churches shut. Jesus had stopped being visiting there a long time ago, it felt like, you know. I mean, I know where 2 or 3 Gabbardies there. But sometimes I really feel like some of our meetings. But our LVC, God is doing something very precious amongst us. There was a real sense in 2020 that God is going to show up. He's showing up. He's moving us. He's stirring us. And my encouragement to you individually is to get into pressing, to engage, to be a part of it. And the flavor of this church is going to be not somber. We're not going to sing the Okeechobee. We're going to be loud and proud. We're going to worship God and praise God extravagantly. The atmosphere of this place is going to be an atmosphere of celebration and praise. And this is going to be a place of faith where we're going to believe for amazing things. We're going to declare things that haven't even happened yet. And we're going to believe God for even more miracles than he's done in the past. And God's done amazing things over the last few decades, since this church was founded. But we're going to believe for even more and more and more restoration, revival, and the promises of God seen and fulfilled. And that's going to be our style and our flavor, because we want this to be a safe place for you to bring your own church friends and family to. I want Sundays, our celebration, to be so full of praise and faith that you just know if you bring somebody unsaved, not only are we going to give the gospel, because you know we're going to do that now, you know we're going to do that, but you know that your friends and families are going to be impacted by the gospel. So you won't ever have this feeling of, what's the point of bringing my friends and family to church? Nobody speaks to them. Nobody says hello. They don't give the gospel. It's all super weird. And everyone just leaves thinking, wow, that's a cult. That's not us. We have been passionate in the past, and we're going to be even more passionate in the future, so that you will be stirred, encouraged, and know that when you bring your friends and family here, we're going to declare the gospel. We're going to declare without watering it down. We're not going to try and be so trendy that we don't actually share Jesus is the only way. There is no other name under heaven on earth. We're not here to say Jesus is a trendy way of life. We're here to say Jesus is the only way for life. Without Jesus, there is death, hell, judgment, sin, all of this stuff. But with Jesus, there is life, forgiveness, eternity. There is all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to declare. So we want this place to be full of excitement, full of joy, full of celebration. And we really believe we've got a mission at LVC, and our mission is for a lost and dying world. And at the beginning of the year, I want to restore in us a passion for the lost. Some of you are thinking, I've not lost my passion for the lost, but restore just that. Always, like when you wake up in the morning, God, who can I witness to today? Jesus, help me speak to somebody today. Who am I praying for? Which people am I praying for to come to Jesus? Just restore this passion and hunger and zeal for lost people to be saved. It's the greatest thing when somebody comes to Jesus. Do you know that? There's a party in heaven. It's the greatest miracle when somebody finds life. It says the angels celebrate. We want to be celebrating with the angels every Sunday, so that when somebody responds on a Sunday, we're going to feel that excitement. We're starting to feel it, aren't we? And we're going to cheer and we're going to say, yes, somebody's coming into the kingdom. This is why we exist. This is the mission. And do you know the needs in the world are so massive today? Do you know how many lost people there are? A guy called Billy Sunday, great evangelist, very, very passionate, was coming to a town. He wrote to the mayor and said, I want to know, you know, I love the lost. I'm not just going to preach the gospel in church. I want to go and meet people. Give me some names and numbers of anyone who needs Jesus. And the mayor sent the phone book, you know, because everybody needs Jesus. If in this town there is 30,000 people, I'm not sure the numbers, and there's less than 400 or 500 in churches, you know, can you see the need, LVC? Yeah. I really believe we're coming to the midnight hour. I really believe Jesus is coming again soon. Can you just sense the urgency of what I'm trying to say? Let God restore in us an urgency for the lost. 75 years this church has established, and we're not saying this year God's going to restore us to former glory. We're going to say God's going to restore to his church, and not just our local church, but to his church. We're really believing for restoration, revival, impact, influence, and mission. So there we are celebrating. They were sitting under the word, which is a vital part of the meeting. You know, people that think they don't need to hear the preacher. The word was always been a vital part of the early church. It says in Acts chapter 2 that they celebrated, they broke bread, they sang, you know, they praised Jesus, and it says they sat under the apostles' teaching. The word of God, this preaching time, it's not a time to switch off. It's a time to really engage. It's a really important part of the meeting. It says they were listening to the word. The fellow's preaching for 6 hours. You can kind of understand. Well, some people might be sleeping. I remember when Dan and Eve were small, they were making a noise in church, being really noisy, really disturbing. Everyone's looking at me like, oh, the pastor's kids should be quiet, you know? I said, boys, do you know? Do you understand why we should be quiet in church? And Dan, no kidding, he says, because people are trying to sleep. I went, the kid's got a point. We need to change a lot. Back to the drawing board. We changed a lot that year, I'm telling you. So Paul's preaching about 6 hours. One young fellow at midnight, he's finally nodded off. He's asleep. He falls out the window. His name means fortunate. And I tell you what, he was fortunate that day, wasn't he? He's fortunate. And this word shows the miracle. Yes, it shows the joy and the celebration, like I just said, yes. It shows the teaching and Paul's heart to build up church, yes. But I think also there's a spiritual point we can apply here. And this is my gentle challenge to us now. There's a young man there. Let's say he represents a particular Christian or a particular church. He's been working all week. He's tired. He excuses himself why he's falling asleep. You know, it's been a busy, busy week. He's not engaging. But Tim, 6 hours is a long time. It is a long time. But the Bible doesn't record anyone else that's falling asleep. They're all just excited to be there, to be together. Sometimes some of you people are looking at your watches after I preach for 15 minutes. Give me a break here, you know. And so he sits by the window. He's moving to the edge, to the outside of the gathering. He gets a window seat. He's looking at he's looking outside. What's up? I'm just using a preacher's license here. I believe there's a spiritual point for us. He's looking out the window, what's going on? He's getting distracted. The lights are burning. You know, Paul is preaching and teaching, but there's maybe the fragrance of this incense of the lamp burning, and it's like the atmosphere, it's getting to midnight, you know. But then he's looking out the window, what's going on in the world? He's got kind of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Can you see where I'm going with this? Why were the windows open and the lamps burning? The church was under persecution, and history records that the early church didn't shrink back. They wanted to be even louder, so they opened the windows and let them hear the praise of God. They're like, you want us to stop. You're telling us to stop. You're persecuting us. Well, here's the windows open. We want you to know here we are. We're proud. We're unashamed of the gospel. We love Jesus. Hear our praise. Hear our worship. Windows are open. Like a city on a hill. They wanted to be a city on a hill. That's what Jesus said. Don't hide. Don't shrink back. Don't be ashamed, but be a city on a hill. And so on the edge, you know, probably on the edge, if you're sitting on the edge, metaphorically speaking, you can see all that's going on in the church. You can see everything that's going wrong. You can see when the preacher's a dud. You can see when someone's not doing what they should. You can criticize. You can see everything wrong. You can moan. You can be negative. But let me tell you, when you're engaged, when you're in the center of what's happening, when you are switched on, when you're passionate, they're like, you can't have this spirit of critical, of being negative, of seeing what's wrong. You can only just see Jesus, you know? And you can only see, God, how can I get involved? Where can I add my gifts and talents, you know? It's not about just watching what's going on, but being a part, because I really believe this. God has called each and every one of us. So he's moved to the edge. Maybe he's got 1 foot in the world, 1 foot out. He starts to fall asleep. And then he sleeps. Romans 13:11 says about, wake up, O slumber. Wake up from your slumber. Sleep metaphorically means inactivity. Have you got Romans 13:11, please? It means inactivity. It means missing, you know. And this is my word. My encouragement today is this. Maybe it's the 12th hour, you know, maybe it is midnight. Undo this understanding the present time. The hour's already for you to come, to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Who believes Jesus is coming again soon? I want to say gently, let this be a year of not just showing up on a Sunday and celebrating, not of making sure we're not sitting on the edge with a critical eye and maybe have 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church, maybe not sitting by the window just interested in what's going on, like not letting go of the world, getting right stuck in the center. But also I want to say this is a time, a year, 2020, we're going to be awake. alive, so awake. At midnight, did you know at midnight, that's when the death angel passed through Egypt. At midnight is when the 10 virgins, Jesus saying at midnight, the hour came and Jesus came, the bridegroom came, and the 10 virgins, five of them didn't have their oil. At midnight, when Paul and Silas were in prison, it says they started to sing hymns to God at midnight, a midnight worship service, amazing, but that's when you're all shackled up and you've been beaten. Midnight, we reckon, was about the time that Jesus was betrayed by Judas in Gethsemane. If you work out that sun went down about 6 o'clock at that time of the year, and they did Passover, maybe 2-3 hours, an hour to walk. Jesus prays 3 times. He goes off, maybe praying an hour each time. We reckon about midnight, the disciples are falling asleep. At midnight is when the homeowner returns to the house, or the thief comes in Jesus' stories. This is what I believe. Maybe the hours at midnight, and maybe the hours that we should be watching, alert, ready, passionate, on fire, engaged, not sitting on the edge by the window, falling asleep, but in the midst, in the middle of what's going on, listening to the word, engaging, responding, saying, here I am, use me, send me. Maybe the hour is midnight, and we didn't even know it. Because if the owner of the house knew what time it was, he would have kept watch. Midnight speaks of decision time. Satan picks off people on the edge. Do you know that? We want you to be in the middle. Revelations 2, 4 to 5 says, could you put that up, please? It says, and yet I hold this against you, forsaken the love you had at first. Next one. Consider how far you've fallen, repent and do the things you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its places. Churches close. Sometimes Jesus removes the lampstands. If they've stopped burning the lamp and start just being something to do in a club and they've stopped engaging and being passionate, sometimes lamps go out, local lamps. But the lamp of LVC is going to not just be restored to former glory, it's going to be restored to the dreams, the visions, the calling that we felt, the belief and the words that have been spoken over us. We're going to believe that this year is going to be a year of shining brightly in this area. That was written, by the way, to the church in Ephesus. Paul just left from Ephesus to go to Troas. And in Ephesus, he saw amazing miracles where even handkerchiefs that were prayed for, people were healed. Yeah, this is where the sorcerers burned all their scrolls to and they burned and publicly declared Jesus is alive. And yet 50, maybe 60 years later, Jesus is saying, wake up, come back to your first love. At midnight, he comes. And we don't want to be found sleeping, do we, church? And the last thing I want to say, just as I close, is this, is that the grace and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm going to speak life into maybe the call of God in you. Maybe there has been dreams. Maybe there's been things you were believing for. Maybe the call of God in your life, you've kind of like buried it and you think, you know what? I think God's finished with me. Or maybe, you know what? I haven't even thought about it for 5-10 years. We're going to speak life to those things in Jesus' name. Maybe you've given up. Maybe you have felt like you're falling asleep. We're going to speak life, and we're going to speak awake in Jesus' name. We're going to believe that. We're going to pray for that. But when Paul, when this young man dies, Paul speaks word of faith. You see, the man of faith, the woman of faith, this is what they can do. When everything else is going crazy, when people are dying, they can remain calm and say, don't worry, there is life in Jesus' name. The man or woman of God doesn't even need to be stricken with panic or fear. That's what people do when they don't have faith. But actually, men and women of God, this year we're going to speak faith. We're not going to be stricken with panic. We're going to declare and proclaim, you know what? Jesus is alive. You know what? We're believing for revival. We're going to speak faith. We're going to believe that this house will be filled in Jesus' name. Are you speaking that word with me? Who wants to see this house filled on a Sunday? The reason I want to see this house filled is because every time we grow, that means people are being saved. We're not in the business of trying to steal other people's sheep. We just want to see new sheep, new souls, this house filled. Speak it, remain calm. And Paul speaks calm. He says, don't worry, this young man's going to be fine. He stretches out on him like Elisha, you know, like Elijah stretches out on this. Elisha stretches out on this young boy. He just stretches out on him. Life returns to him. And Paul is so passionate. He's so focused. He loves, he's just got his, this is what he does. He stretches out on him. He comes back. He just carries on preaching for another 6 hours. That's not like we can finish on, that was a major miracle. Wow, that was amazing. What a church service. Be blessed. Have a great week. I'll see you next week. He preaches for another 6 hours. Can you imagine at the moment when this young man, Eutychus, fortunate, falls out the window and dies? Can you imagine the reaction of his friends and family? This could be the worst church service in the world. Imagine if somebody fell off the balcony and, you know, and died. And can you imagine how dramatic that would be? Paul, man of God, it's okay. He's going to be fine. Praise, he comes back to life in Jesus' name. There is life in the name of Jesus. Do you know that? There is resurrection life in the name of Jesus. We're speaking life and restoration and revival to LVC this year. We're speaking life, restoration, revival to you individually this year. And we're speaking life to all of us. And this isn't a year to sit on the edge by the window and to have one foot in, one foot out, to have be more interested in what's going on outside. This is a year to be right in the center, in it to win it, so to speak. This is a year to show up, to prioritize Sunday, to prioritize this first day of the week, to come together, to engage, to serve, and to say, God, here I am. What can you do with me? Use me. Here's my gifts, my talent, my time. Here's my ability. Use me. And who knows what God can do? Who knows what ministries could be birthed from this house this year as people seek to be engaged, as people seek to say, you know what? I'm getting involved. Who knows what could happen this year? Will you dream with me this year, church? Will you believe in me? Will you start to see? Will you open your eyes and I look around? Will you start to see this balcony filled? Will you do that with me this year? Yeah. Will you see empty chairs filled? Will you see, as I'm about to preach the gospel now as I close, will you start to see and believe that hands will go up all over this place and this will happen every single time we get together? And will you believe in me that this maybe could be the 12th hour? And this is a time to wake up. And this is a time to say, God, I want to be awake. I want to be engaged. I want to be passionate. I want to be all that you've called me to be. Well, today I say restoration in the name of Jesus. Those of you who are discouraged, maybe you feel something is dead and buried, there is life in Jesus' name. Those of you that may be falling asleep, I will gently say to you, now's the time to wake up. And those of you who are sitting on the edge, it's time to change seats. 2020, you're changing your seat. Get off the window seat and get in the middle. Amen? Amen.